Well, good morning, friends. I think we're going to make a start. Welcome to Adult Sunday School. It's good to be together. I'm just going to pray for us before we begin. Father God, thank you for this day, the day that you've made. Lord, thank you for your great name. And we want to praise and honour your name this morning. Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to meet now as your people. Lord, we want to pray for our children meeting now. Please speak to their hearts through your word, through your spirit. And Lord, I pray for our time now as we think about this idea of perseverance. Lord, would your spirit teach us? Lord, please assure us this morning of our salvation. But Lord, help us to spur one another along as we are on this long, slow journey to glory. Lord, remind us that the Lord Jesus will get us there. And we ask that in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you've got a handout. So our theme this morning is perseverance. And Emmanuel, we're just coming to the end of a really helpful series on following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. We've been using this book by Andrew Randall. I'll be summarising the chapter in here on perseverance. Really helpful book. If you haven't got a copy yet, do grab one. As I said, some bullet points on the sheet. I just wanted to start by saying, as always, you know, I'm not an expert. I've been a Christian now for nearly 30 years. And as I look back on those 30 years, I think there's been seasons of my life where actually I don't think I've made much progress. I don't think I've been great at perseverance. And perhaps sometimes I've slid back. But also in God's grace and mercy, you know, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I've seen seasons of my life of real growth, and I'm really grateful to God that actually the Mark Smithers standing here today is different to the one who stood here 10 years ago, and I thank God very much for that. So the first thing I want to say is perseverance is a bit like a coin with two sides to it, two great truths printed on each side of the coin. And on that, the first side of that coin is the promise we find throughout the Bible that God will complete the work he's begun. The true Christian, the true regenerate believer cannot be lost. And this is what the great reformers like Calvin called the preservation of the saints. And the reformed position on salvation is once saved, always saved. God has saved his elect people in the saving work and death and resurrection of Christ. And there's many parts of the Bible where we see that presented. But perhaps the most famous is Romans chapter 8, and I've just printed on your sheets God's great promise, Romans 8, 28 to 30. Let me read that out. Familiar verses, but good truth to remind our hearts. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now these very famous verses are sometimes called this golden chain of salvation. And for us, it's important to remember that chain cannot be broken. Can you see how God is at work at every stage of a Christian salvation? I've underlined the key words there. In verse 29, Paul says that before the believer was born, God decided to save them. He predestined him or her for himself. Verse 30, he then calls believers through the proclamation of the gospel. And then he also justifies them, making them righteous through the blood of Christ. And crucially for our thinking this morning, he glorifies Christians. Says it, doesn't he? And those he also glorified. And for the Christian, that process has started now. We are glorified. And that process will reach its fulfillment in heaven. But the point of the promise is, God will get that believer to glory in heaven. If you are a saved Christian here this morning, God will get you to heaven to be with him. And that's hard, isn't it? We find that hard to understand. And Paul knows that, so he puts it much more simply in Philippians chapter 1. He says this, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul says God will do that. God will complete that good work. He doesn't say you will. And if you want to see what Jesus says about this afternoon, look at John 10 or 11. Wonderfully reassuring words about Jesus and his sheep. I haven't got much more time to say about that, but that is a really important element of what we're looking at today. We start from that position that the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, I will get you to heaven. I will complete that work I began in you. And it's important, isn't it? Because the devil, the world, the flesh won't stop that from happening. Even you won't stop that from happening. And I want to say amen to that this morning. So it's really important as we think about perseverance, we get that side of the coin right. That we are preserved people. And we need to hold on to that truth. But there's an error that people apply to that truth. So there's a wrong understanding of that truth. Some people will say there's nothing more to do. If God will get us to heaven, why don't we just sit back and do nothing? Well, I hope folk in the room know the answer to that is we shouldn't do that. If we know the Bible, we know it says that Christians can't take that position. So the second side of the coin about keeping going is this command in the Bible to keep going. We are to live as saved children of God. We're called to persevere. The Bible knows nothing of a passive Christian. God's people throughout the whole Bible are called to persevere. We're told to do things, to live in a certain way. We're told not to do certain things. We're told to change, to grow, to push forward on. In summary, you could say that we're called to mature, to grow. Many of us are familiar with Bunyan's famous work, The Pilgrim's Progress. We're called, like Christian, to journey on towards that celestial city. And God has planned great things for us to do. He says that in Ephesians 2, verse 10. But the scripture we're going to use this morning to help us is 2 Peter chapter 1. I've printed it out on your sheet, so you can turn to it in your Bible. I'm going to read it. It's quite a long passage, but I think it's really helpful. So I'm going to read it, but follow it with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he is cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. Wasn't it wonderful that we've got Peter's words here in front of us? We're going to talk about that in our little groups in a sec, but just a couple of things to know. Paul 3, Peter reminds us in verse 3 that Christians have been saved. We've been saved to life. And verse 4, we've been saved out of the world. So in verse 5, Peter says, for this reason, he goes on to explain why God has saved them. So he saved them, and he saved them for a reason. So I've jotted down some questions on your sheet there I'd like you to discuss in sort of threes and fours. The first one is, what kind of life does Peter look for us and expect in response to God's saving work of grace? Just jot down some of those key areas he highlights. And then just share honestly with friends Where are you making progress in those areas? But also, where are you finding hard with each of these areas of life? So just take 7 or 8 minutes, discuss with your friends and neighbours. Anyone want to share, just to perhaps some of your groups, what are a couple of the things that Peter expects from the Christian, from the believer, from this passage? You want to share a couple of thoughts? What does Peter expect to see in a Christian who's persevering?
He expects to see effort and growth and energy and perseverance.
There's a sense of doing things in this passage, isn't there? It's not just a list of, you know, what we think about, it's what we do. So he says to us, for example, you know, have self-control. Yeah, what does that look like for me as someone who's a Christian? You know, I have to think about that, don't I? But it's an action, isn't it? It's not think about self-control, it's be self-controlled. Yeah, other things people talked about?
He talks about how they were connected. I don't necessarily think we concluded that, but just the interesting kind of pairings and how, you know, for example, the self-control one, knowledge with self-control, you know, whether or not the self-control is more about spending more time getting to know the word, so that it kind of is more discipline of the word of God, and that grows us in all the other, you know, they're quite interesting connections.
Yeah. Anyone else wants to share a helpful? Go on, Kush.
It says here, be more diligent
to make your calling
and election sure.
Sure.
So there are things we need to do as well.
Yeah.
God has done his bit,
but
we need to sort of follow it up and do it diligently, because there are many things that can hold us back.
Excellent. Very good. Will?
Similarly, I think, you know, we were actually having a bit of a debate about, does election mean, you know, perseverance? And it is a difficult one to get our head around.
Yeah.
It's interesting that in that verse 10, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, is both those tensions in one sentence. Election is here, but you be diligent to make sure that you're elected. The other thing is verse 8, that these things are increasing.
Yeah.
So we can never say, oh, I've nailed the self-control one, or the knowledge one. It's the New Testament, so just more and more of it.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. I just think it's a really helpful passage, isn't it? Maybe it's a bit of a spiritual MOT. You know, how am I doing in some of these areas that God demands of me? The good sort of section. So how does this passage help us to keep going, to persevere? Well, I think there's a couple of really helpful sections in the passage, and I heard some of you talking about them. In verse 5, Peter says, don't just have faith in God, but put your faith into action. Peter says, add to your faith good works and grow in your relationship with God. As we said, we're not saying we're saved by our good works, because Peter's already said you are saved. But as a saved believer, this is how you are to live. But he says to keep going, to keep moving forward. And did you see in verse 8, he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and that's really helpful, isn't it? As Will said, we don't get the knowledge box and tick it off, I've got the knowledge bit. No, it's increasing. And there's a dear brother here who's here every week trying to learn, and he's been here for a long time. And that's where I want to be. I want to be, keep listening to God's word as I get older. Verse 5, he says, keep striving to gain knowledge of God. Keep reading the Bible. Keep coming to church, keep listening to God as you study his word. Verse 6, he says, keep aiming to grow in godliness, in your attitude to life, to money, to relationships, to family, to work, to health. Verse 7, keep trying to love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a word he uses which I find really helpful in verse 6. Look down at verse 6. He says, and self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness. So what does that word mean? What does it look like to be steadfast? Well, we might think that means just standing still, standing secure. But I think that's a little bit dangerous. I think actually the Bible warns us that if we stand still, it says winds of false teaching will get us. It says the church is under attack daily. And it also says the devil is prowling around. He's prowling around to push you back, to challenge you. Now, I think steadfastness actually means steady progress. Steadfastness in the Christian life is all about slow, incremental change. On your notes, I've put this phrase, steadfastness is the long haul in the mundane. I don't know if you've ever got on a plane and flown for 10, 12, 18 hours. They call it a long haul flight. Well, I think life, the Christian life, is a bit like that long haul flight to Australia. You can almost feel the hours going by. It's quite painful. So in one sense, we talk about life being short, but in another sense, life, in other senses, is long. Hour after hour, day after another, life for most of us is relatively long. So we must be prepared to keep trusting God for a long time. And isn't it true that we live in a world that doesn't like to wait? We live in a world where everything has to be now. We want to be there now. We want instant gratification. Well, the Bible says not so. Not so for the Christian. And there's a lovely quote in this book by a chap called Eugene Patterson. He says, we must strive for a long obedience in the same direction. Life has lots of highs and great joys and also some valleys, some difficult times. But actually, if we're honest, life for most of us is quite mundane. Routine, repeated over and again. We sleep, we rise, we go to school, we go to work. We cook dinner, we do the washing up, and we go to bed. In short, every day life can be pretty mundane. But it's in that context that God calls us daily to persevere. And one way to do that is to foster godly habits. Perseverance, keeping going, being steadfast, is about fostering good, godly habits in that daily routine of life. So let me gently ask you, in your life, do you regularly read the Bible? Do you try and study it? Do you regularly spend time in prayer? And if you don't, how would your walk with Jesus change if you spent 10 minutes every day praying? Or if you spent 10 or 15 minutes trying to read the Bible, maybe reading with some notes? And as I look back on my life, that discipline was hard. It was hard to take root in my life. But as I stand here this morning, I can see now that that routine has many blessings for me in perseverance. Because when we read the Bible, we see all through it God telling us, showing us how to persevere, how to keep going. If we read the Bible every day, we'll hear these words. We'll hear the Bible telling us to fear God. The Bible tells us to remember God, remember his nature, how he's slow to anger, abounding in love. It tells us that we should love God. It tells us to walk in wisdom, not folly, that we should pursue righteousness, that we should be constant in prayer. The Bible teaches us that we need to take up our cross daily and love one another deeply. Well, you get my point, don't you? I could go on. But when we read the Bible and its commands, it shows us how to keep going. And then we ask God to help us to obey what he says. So going back to daily habits and routines, if we're not praying, we're not reading the Bible, when we're just doing life, what does life look like for you? Let me ask you as a Christian here this morning, how do you do life? And there's another really helpful quote on your sheet from Paul Tripp. He says this, you live your life in the utterly mundane. And if God doesn't rule your mundane, he doesn't rule you, because that's where you live. And I just found it really helpful. Every day, we pretty much do the same things, don't we? But every day, we're called to do it in a way that honours God. So daily, do we seek to persevere by doing the things we do in obedience to God? Doing things in a way that honours him? As we go to work, do we pray, Lord, help me to honour you in my work, to be different? Ben and I work at Haven College, and we sometimes sit in my office and we say, Lord, help our work at Haven College to bring you glory, to honour you. We do that, don't we, brother? And the Lord answers our prayers. Or when we get up in the morning, do we say, Lord, as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, help me to honour you today. As I go off to work, as I go to school, Lord, help me to glorify you today. How do we live life in the everyday? Another reason perhaps why we don't make progress, and maybe you shared this as we came in the room this morning, is that we live in a world of rich blessings. We often feel that we don't need God, we have so much. And there's a real danger of blessing, isn't there? Material blessing. There's a real danger that the earthly comforts we have can at best distract us, and the call to perseverance, but at worst, the world and its comforts causes us to stop, to drift away from God. And there's a real warning in 2 Timothy 4. Paul says to us, don't be like Demas. He stops persevering because he loves this world. So there's a real danger, isn't there, for we as Western Christians. You know, the church in Africa is persevering with nothing. The church in the West is dying with everything. I think there's a real call for us to sit up. And last week, we thought about persevering in suffering, didn't we? A really helpful session. If you weren't here, have a listen online. We said that one of the great mysteries of the Christian life is how God uses suffering to grow us. God uses suffering to help us persevere. And many believers have looked back on their life who suffered and can testify that they really grew. They really persevered in a time of suffering. Many older Christians look back on their life and think, when was the time I grew most? It was when this happened. And that's the mystery, isn't it? Of how God uses things in our life to help us keep going. And I hope you all agree with me this morning that we keep going together. God knows that we as Christians, we need each other. And that's the great gift of the church. And we're commanded to gather, aren't we? In Hebrews 10:25, it says, don't neglect to meet together. Everyone loves that verse. But the next bit tells us why. Why should we meet together? To encourage each other. Don't stop meeting, because you meet together to encourage each other. When you walk to church, when you drive to church, do you pray, Lord, give me someone to encourage today? I want to spur another fellow Christian on this morning. And I know when I pray that prayer, someone grabs me, or I bump into someone in the corridor who needs a bit of prayer. They need another someone to walk alongside with them. So we need to stop being polite, stop being English, and say to each other, how is your walk with Christ going? How are you making progress? You know, how can I pray for you in your walk? It's easy to talk about the football and the weather, but God wants us to say to each other, how are you persevering? You know, how can I pray for you? How can I walk with you? And I know it's really helpful for many of us to have a fellowship group, because we walk the Christian life together, don't we? We meet in each other's homes in the week. And I know many of us as well meet with just maybe one or two other individuals, just quietly to pray, to encourage each other. It's really helpful to have one or two other brothers or sisters to meet with, to pray with. So if you're not in a fellowship group, perhaps you don't have another Christian you can, you know, have a relationship with, please do so. It's really helpful. But actually, having said all of that, I'm going to contradict myself, and actually it's not ultimately you or me who's going to keep us going. As with most big questions in the Christian life, the answer to how will I persevere is Jesus. Because he saved me, and because he's also promised to keep me going, to always be with me by his Spirit. And it's through Jesus and his Holy Spirit that God will keep us going. Don't we pray, Lord, fill us with your Spirit, that he may keep pointing us to Jesus, that we may keep persevering in him. Because, friends, we're never going to persevere without the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit loves to glorify the Son and to help us to fix our eyes on him. And it'd be good that as we draw to a close, we turn to some lovely verses in Scripture. So in your Bibles, can you turn with me to Hebrews 12? And we're just going to read a couple of verses from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 11, the great list of great Christians from the Bible. And then Hebrews 12 says this, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Isn't that a wonderful passage? I mean, it speaks so much truth, doesn't it, of the fact that the Christian life is a long endurance race. We start it with Jesus. He's the one who starts that work in you, but he's the one who's running with you. He's the one that we look at as we keep running. We see him in the distance, and we fix our eyes on him. And when we look at him, we remind ourselves of who we are, identity. Every morning we wake up and say, I am trusting in Jesus. And perhaps as we close, it's good to think, isn't it, that there's no silver bullet to perseverance. There's no easy way to persevere. It's very simple. It's about the Lord Jesus, it's about his word, and it's about his spirit. And this book has got a really helpful little quote on the back. It says this: joy and fruitfulness in faith do not depend on flashes of genius, but on getting the basics right most of the time. How do we keep going? We do the basics right. We go to church. We love each other. We read the Bible. We pray. It's very simple. And it's very hard. And that's why we keep coming together, don't we? And just before I pray, maybe there may be one or two folk here this morning who feel a bit convicted. Actually, I haven't made much progress. I'm not persevering. Well, today's a great day to grab someone like me or Will or Andrew or Elizabeth or Charlotte or Natalie and say, please pray with me. I've stopped a bit. I need to get back on that narrow path. I need to move forward. So today's a great day, isn't it, to grab someone, say, Lord, you know, help me to pray that I would keep persevering. Why don't you get back into your little groups, spend 1 or 2 minutes praying with each other. Yeah, Lord, help us to be keep going, and then I'll draw us to close in a minute. Why don't I just close in a final prayer? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus has purchased our salvation. We're so grateful, Lord, that we are saved. Yet we're saved for a purpose. And we know that the Lord Jesus will help us to make progress, to persevere. Lord, some days that's very slow progress, but we know that your Spirit daily is helping us, and we do ask that he would continue that work in us. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus each day, to live each day, whatever it brings, the mundane. Help us to glorify you and seek your honour and glory in each day. Help us to make slow progress in that long walk of obedience, for we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.